2003 was a tumultuous year for Pope John Paul II. During the 25th anniversary celebrations of his papacy in October, the Pope's obviously weak and fatigued physical condition fueled speculation that his health was further failing. But by the turn of the year, he seemed reinvigorated, and he closed the year, raising his voice yet again as one of the world's leading voices of moral opposition to the war in Iraq, and he began the new year with a new plea for peace. Joining us is John Allen, Vatican correspondent for the National Catholic Reporter, and he's on the phone from Rome. Thanks for joining us once again, John.
Hi, Leanne.
Let's start with the Pope's New Year's address. He made a rather impassioned plea for a renewed commitment to the United Nations and international law, but he didn't mention the United States specifically, but the subtext was clear. The U.S. went to war without U.N. authorization. Is the Pope setting himself on a collision course with the Bush administration?
Well, I think there clearly is tension here. I mean, the Vatican has been trying very hard since the rather harsh polemics surrounding the war itself to soften the tone rhetorically. And actually, the Pope's Peace Day message was itself toned down a bit because there was concern in the Vatican that it might be perceived as anti-American. But at the level of substance, there's no doubt that there are contrasting visions here. The Bush administration has drawn the conclusion from the war in Iraq that occasionally it's going to have to strike first, that's the doctrine of so-called preventive war, and that it cannot always rely on the legitimization of international organizations, especially the UN, which it thinks is too unwieldy and sometimes, frankly, lacks the nerve to deal with the threat posed by terrorism. The Vatican, on the other hand, and John Paul II, has drawn exactly the opposite conclusion, that no state ever has the moral authorization to strike first, and that the use of force always, except in cases of self-defense, has to have the warrant of the international community. So there are clearly some very profound diplomatic differences here.
Will this remain high on the pontiff's agenda, or might it soften a bit if the rebuilding of Iraq goes well?
No, I think there are two separate issues here. One is the reconstruction of Iraq, where there is a sort of shared interest, I think, between the United States and the Vatican on trying to build a relatively liberal, democratic, open Iraq, above all from the Vatican's point of view, that will respect religious freedom, because let's not forget there still are some 1 million Christians in Iraq. But clearly on the level of how states use force and what the role of the United Nations is in authorizing force, there is a considerable distance between the Bush administration and the Vatican, and I don't see any signs that ground has begun to narrow.
The Pope's health seemed much better during the Christmas season, but it's still an issue, and there are no indications that the Pope is planning any international travel in the next year. This seems to be the first time that's happened.
Well, I think what's new, Leanne, is that the Vatican has not confirmed any travel for the Pope. I mean, they will still tell you that the Pope is at the moment considering four possible trips, one to France, one to Switzerland, one to Austria, and one even to Mexico for a Eucharistic Congress later in the year. But they clearly have not officialized any. And of course, the reason for that is the era in which you could plan for, you could commit to a papal trip 6 months in advance is over, because we have no way of knowing what John Paul's condition 6 months from now is going to be. So what they're doing is playing it much more by ear. And I think if the Pope travels in 2004, they won't officially commit to that until a few weeks before each engagement.
You've been able to talk to some of the Pope's medical team. What do they say about the Pope's condition?
Well, you know, the one thing the Vatican can't say out loud for fear of being ridiculed is that, despite it all, John Paul is a fairly healthy 83-year-old man. I mean, his struggles are obvious, the Parkinson's disease, the immobility, the hearing loss, the fatigue. I mean, all of that plays out before the eyes of the world. But the baseline below all that is that his, all the things you use to get a handle on how an elderly person is doing, his circulation, his diet, his sleep patterns, you know, his overall just, you know, how healthy he is on a day-to-day basis. All of that is fairly good, and which means that his problems are more supportable than they would be for an elderly person who is suffering more on the sort of basic health issues. And so I think the bottom line, Leanne, is this, that given his age and his ailments and the burdens of the job, no one would be surprised, I think, if the Pope were to collapse next week. But on the other hand, I don't think anyone should be terribly shocked if this pontificate goes on several more years.
We'll still be talking about his health as well. A number of issues came to the fore over the past year. The Vatican took a very firm stand on in defense of monogamous heterosexual marriage, and also with the idea of the election of Gene Robinson, the first openly gay bishop in the Anglican Communion. This has not only had an effect on the Anglican Church, but in its relationship with the Catholic Church. How do you think this issue is going to evolve in the next year?
Well, I think it will continue to be a subject of great controversy and great debate between religious groups and inside religious groups. But certainly the social forces that are creating this debate, I mean, you've now got 12 European nations that have some form of civil registration of same-sex unions. Those social forces are not going away, and that means that religious groups are going to continue to have to confront this question. And so I think in 2004, this is going to continue to be, if you like, the front line of the culture wars.
John Allen is the Vatican correspondent for the National Catholic Reporter. He joined us by phone from his home in Rome. Once again, thanks a lot, John.
Always a pleasure, Leanne.